If you learn from a very young age that expressing your needs, your wants, your emotions in any way led to being ignored or rejected or dismissed or even conflict, such as getting yelled at by a parent, then you're going to learn a habit called self-abandonment. And what that leads to is people-pleasing and ignoring your gut instincts and being really perfectionist and criticizing yourself. What this means is that if you are a member of a community and you don't feel like you are a member of that community, then it's going to be very hard to make space for yourself or to even try to claim identity or kinship with that community. And that's what we're going to discuss here on our last Pride Month episode of the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. You're listening to Feather Mane Soul Wisdom, a podcast for those looking to rediscover their wild spirit in spite of life's challenges. If you're living with a chronic illness or neurodivergent or consider yourself disabled, and you're looking to connect with your own inner untamed essence, then this show is for you. Your host is Kit Kailstow, Wild Spirit Storyteller. Thanks for listening, and now on to the episode. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Kit Kailstow, and this is our last Pride-specific episode, as it is the end of June 2026. In our first episode, we talked about when you don't feel like you're a part of a community, and when you don't feel like either you can claim membership in that community or that community sees you as a part of it. In our last episode last week, we talked about things that communities can do to include neurodivergent and disabled individuals. And finally, in this episode, I want to follow up on a topic that I brought up in that last episode, which is making space for yourself. As I was doing some work for this episode, it really kind of connected with me that if we do not make space for ourselves in a community, and I'm not talking about like running up to a pride parade and saying, hey, let me in because I'm queer. What I'm talking about is actually believing that we are a member of a community, following up on our lived experiences and honoring and trusting those feelings inside of ourselves. A good example of this is one of the discussions that I've been seeing going around my social media feeds, especially here during Pride, is how do you know if you're trans? And the point has been made that people who are 100% cis never ever question whether they're cis. They never ever ever question their gender. They know who they are and that's who they are. For people who are trans, even if it's just a teensy little bit and you wonder, you know, might I be trans? And I've heard this said too in the neurodivergent community. People who are not autistic do not sit around wondering if they are autistic, for example. And so if you're actually questioning that, then that's a good indication that you may need to trust your instincts, trust your gut, and do some exploration. Now, the results of that exploration, you may explore and you may realize, no, I'm comfortable with my gender identity. But you may also explore and realize that, no, some things in your life need to change. And so doing that exploration, that is a way to combat self-abandonment. Let me just start by taking a few moments to talk a bit about self-abandonment. Now, I just want to preface this as I always do. I am not a mental health therapist. I cannot diagnose. I cannot treat any sort of condition. I can certainly coach and help and stand, you know, in solidarity with you. I can hold space for you. I can be a witness to what you're going through. And that's what I do as a coach. And so that's just where I'm coming from here. And if you do feel like, you know, things are just, you know, there's things coming up that you need to discuss, if you're not feeling safe, I encourage you to seek help. So let's talk about self-abandonment. Self-abandonment pretty much starts in childhood. And it's when you learn that expressing your authentic needs, emotions, or boundaries lead to conflict. You know, if you're a child and you tell your parents, you know, oh, I have to go bathroom. And instead of saying, okay, let's find a bathroom, they say, oh, not again, you just went. Or, oh, you should have went when you, you know, left the house. That sort of thing, if continued and if it becomes a pattern, can lead to self-abandonment, because basically you learn that every time you express your needs, every time you express your emotions, like if something hurts and you cry and you're constantly chastised for crying, you're going to learn that those needs and emotions are ignored or rejected by other people around yourself. And so then you learn to reject and ignore those needs, partly out of a pattern and partly out of self-preservation. Where self-abandonment comes into play is as we become older, as we become adults, you might notice yourself people-pleasing. You might notice yourself suppressing emotions. You might notice yourself ignoring your gut instincts. You might notice yourself not having really solid boundaries or being a real perfectionist and being really critical of yourself. Now, there's ways to actually work with this. And the first step is obviously be aware of it. The other step is self-compassion and self-reflection. And that's where I really want to focus here today, is that self-compassion, that radical acceptance of yourself and your needs, no matter what you think about them. That self-compassion, treating yourself the way you treat a loved one you care about, the way you would treat a beloved companion animal, that self-compassion really can help go a long way towards being present for yourself. Because if you've noticed that people in your life are not present for you, then it is doubly important for you to step up and be present for yourself. And there's a whole lot I could get into that's kind of leans more into mental health. I kind of just want to leave it at there for now. But I encourage you again, if you're recognizing some patterns and some behaviors, you know, maybe talk to a trusted professional. Maybe learn a little bit more about it. Maybe reach out to somebody. What does that have to do with creating space for yourself in a community, and especially during Pride? Well, I'm going to get vulnerable here for a moment and just share that this is something that I've been struggling with this Pride. I live in a very rural community. The local queer community is not safe for me because of some experiences I had with people who are connected to it. And being somebody who pretty much appears cis. I mean, I pretty much, you know, I cut my hair short, but that's about it. You know, I cannot medically transition right now. I can't do a lot of things right now in regards to making changes. And so pretty much, you know, I look like the gender I was assigned at birth. And because of that, I really struggle, and of course this goes back into, you know, some, my own past and that, but I really struggle to feel connected and a part of a community. And so you start to say things to yourself like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, oh, it's okay. You know, I don't need to do that anyway. You start to dismiss some really serious, is the word that comes to mind, but I don't think that's what I'm looking for here. Some really strong urges and really strong thoughts on your part. You start to dismiss that. You start to abandon yourself. How do we not do that? How do we make space for ourselves when we don't feel wanted by the community we're trying to make space in? Well, the first step is simply admitting that you belong. Nobody has a monopoly on pride. Pride is a celebration. There are non-queer people at Pride. There are, you know, people from all walks of life, all across the gender, sexuality, orientation spectrum. There, everybody belongs at Pride. And so if you could just keep telling yourself that, not in a, you know, lying to yourself sort of way, or, you know, trying to change your thoughts, but just gently reminding yourself, hey, you know, nobody, in spite of what some groups may or may not think, nobody has a monopoly on Pride. That means if you feel safe and able to go to a celebration, you know, do so. If you want to do something small and quiet at home, something that's more personal, less public facing, do that. Once you admit that you belong in a group, you can decide whether you want to claim public kinship with that. Again, you decide how much information you disclose or don't disclose. You decide what you get to do for yourself. That's how we fight self-abandonment. The other thing is to understand that there will always be people who try to claim ownership of a space. There will always be people, and at this point I'm stepping outside of just talking about Pride and going into, you know, any group. There will always be people who will, you know, try to tell you that you're taking up too much room, who will try to tell you that you don't belong. One of the things I've gotten really good at in my 5 decades here on this planet is to be comfortable just doing my own thing. Now, some of that's the autism, some of that is, again, location, but I mean, and this podcast, honestly, is an example of that. So, you know, if you just get comfortable, you know, banging your own drum, as the saying goes, and just doing your thing, and even though it's difficult to remember, just remembering that what other people think of that reflects more on them than it ever will on you. The other thing I would encourage you to do to avoid self-abandonment is to really think about where that's coming from and think about how you can make that right with yourself. I mean, we can't go back in time. We can't fix the things that we have happened to us. What we can do is make sure we give ourselves compassion and love and understand, for example, that that younger version of you that didn't have their needs met, that wasn't right. And that, you know, happened. And so because of that, you know, you need to give that younger person, you know, just the same compassion you would give anybody that you care about. And again, I know all of this is easier said than done, and I am right there with you and working on this every single day. So when we make that space for ourselves, it's a matter of also rethinking our ideas of community. Now, we may have an idea of community, of how we want to exist in a space, how we should exist in a space, what actually should happen when we're in a space. And a lot of times that's not going to happen. A lot of times, you know, people, everybody being individuals, everybody having free will, that how we show up in a space pretty much means that we're going to have to deal with other people's actions as well, and the way other people may affect our showing up in a space. I felt like I was talking in circles there, so I apologize. But I think what I'm trying to say is let go of perceived, you know, connotations. Let go of any perceived notions that this is how things are going to go, because we don't know how the world, how day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour, things are going to unfold in front of us. I don't think anybody has a crystal ball that works 100% of the time. I mean, even autistic pattern recognition gets it wrong from time to time. So I think the other thing is, in some respects, to let go of our cynicism. And this could be the hardest thing of all. When you have been excluded from spaces, when you have been treated very badly by individuals who maybe claim to be a friend or maybe claimed to be welcoming, you know, an organization that claims to welcome everybody, but then it's very obvious that they don't want to make accommodations for a disability. It's obvious that they don't want to, you know, welcome people who maybe process things differently, or even welcome people who are outside their own experiences. When that happens, it is very easy to fall into the trap of cynicism. You know, my spouse has a t-shirt. We got it at Walmart. And it looks like a review box. And it says, you know, people. And then you see one stars. You know, so it's like, it's very easy to dismiss the whole human race with a zero stars or a one star review. But the truth is that when you put people in monolithic blocks, you diminish them. And so, and it's, this is something I need to remember as well, that, you know, when you put people in monolithic blocks, you just diminish them. And so I would encourage you to understand the harms that people can do, but don't be cynical about everybody acting the same way. Now, this doesn't dismiss anybody, you know, who needs to look at the actions of themselves, their community, make things right, reparative justice. That certainly needs to come into play. And the more of that that happens, frankly, the better we all think about other people in the world around us. But to simply pull yourself away from a community because you think everybody sucks, that may be true on like a small local level, but certainly not on a global or national level. Which brings us back to the general topic of our podcast today, which is making space for yourself when you don't feel wanted by a community, when you don't feel like you're a part of a community. And I think it comes back down to being willing to sit with that loneliness, being willing to sit with those uncomfortable feelings, being willing to sit with the grief that comes up. When you're willing to do that, you start to become willing to accept your own company. Now, does this mean that things, you don't want things to change? Of course not. But what it does do is it gets you comfortable holding space, taking up space, and making space for yourself without anybody else around and feeling like you belong. And I would encourage you to, in this space, to start speaking your truth, to start speaking authentically, to start identifying yourself as a member of the community. Because the flip side of this is that if somebody on the outside of a community looks at a community and all they see is kind of a monolith of people who look the same, act the same, think the same, with subtle differences between them, then that is not doing a good service for the community. And that probably would be a whole another topic of another podcast. Maybe next year's Pride, I'll start making notes. But when you start saying, hey, I'm a member of this community too, you also hold up a light for other people. I was having trouble sleeping last night, and I saw the most beautiful post on Blue Sky from a gentleman who was basically saying, hey, please don't forget the trans men this pride. And really reminding everybody within that community that they belong at Pride, that that they deserve the same care and concern and not to be erased as other members of the LGBTQIA spectrum. And that's something I very much agree with. But, you know, I read that beautiful post and I shared it and I saw it got a little bit of traction online. And, you know, that little post that just saying, hey, don't forget about us, that really shone a light, that really shined a light and allowed, you know, made me feel better. I'm sure it made other people feel better. And that's why they shared the post. There was, you know, no negative replies. There was no negative mocking to the post at all. And so when you show up in a community and you show up as your true authentic self, even if it's your tiny corner of a community, then that is going to help other people see that they belong as well. And when we think about it, the communities that we're in, you know, basically a community is just each of us showing up with our own tiny little corner. And when you put all those corners together, it makes something big and wonderful. And so I would encourage you that in the space that you, in the space that you have, basically don't self-abandon yourself. Don't dismiss your identities. Don't dismiss your wants, your needs, your desires. Don't dismiss those. If loneliness, if sadness comes up, I encourage you to actually sit with that and feel that and express that in whatever way feels safest and best to you. Could be a journal, could be some form of artwork, could be talking that over with a somebody, you know, a close person that you trust or a professional. But I guess where I'm going with this is we have to stand up for ourselves. We have to stop abandoning ourselves. And when we do that, we automatically step into a space where we can begin to create our own little corners of communities. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. As always, it is a super big help, and I am extremely grateful. Anytime you tell a friend about this podcast, anytime you like, follow, subscribe, wherever you hear my voice. And if you would like to learn more about how Wild Spirit Storytelling and my grief pathfinding method can help you with these situations, please reach out at feathermanesoul.com. I offer free connection calls. You can also email if that is, you know, more accessible to you as well. Thank you so much. I hope you had a wonderful Pride, and I will speak with you next week. You've been listening to the Feathermane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kelstow. Learn more about Feathermane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. As a wild spirit storyteller, Kit is passionate about helping those who are neurodivergent, disabled, or living with chronic illness rediscover their own inner wild spirit. Visit feathermanesoul.com to receive free gifts or book a free call with Kit to discuss how wild spirit storytelling can help you. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting feathermanesoul.com/show and following the links to the Muse Charmer Network. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow wherever you're hearing my voice, or tell a friend who may be interested. Thank you.